Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
This is Cristiana Palmieri for the Soup of the Day on Fred Film Radio, and I'm here with Benjamin Zeccola, CEO of Palas Enterprises. Good evening, Benjamin.
Good evening.
How are you today?
Well, it's been a busy day. We're dealing with lots of changes because of the environment.
Yeah, I imagine that. And Palas Cinemas must be very busy with, you know, all this reopening coming soon that we are going to talk about it, of course.
Yeah.
But I would like to start with a little bit of history about Palas Enterprises, which is a diverse family business that owns cinemas across Australia, is a film distributor and a film festival organizer. So when and how it was founded?
So the business started, must be 50 years ago, in a small suburb outside of Melbourne. And my father rented the local town hall and played movies. And that was continuing a tradition that his father had started in the village in Italy where my father grew up. And it's a little bit like the movie Cinema Paradiso. But that's repeated by thousands and thousands of families because there were church halls in the small villages of Italy doing this. In it, and there must be, I think, 1,500 villages, you know, that did this in Italy. So it's not a unique story, but it's a very special family history that we share.
Absolutely, and probably maybe it's not unique in the world, but it's quite unique here in Australia, I suppose.
Yeah, and the cinemas, you know, the company grew from there. It was renting one town hall, and then it rented another abandoned cinema and made it a little bit special, and specialised in foreign films, you know, Italian films for the Italian community. And that really gave us that start with what would be considered art house cinema and independent film as well.
Yeah, and this is what we enjoy now when we go to the Palas Cinemas. Benjamin, let's talk about a topic that affects all of us. So when COVID hit Australia and we went in lockdown, how did Palas Cinemas manage the crisis and what was the first actions that you took?
Well, Palas Cinemas, because of our connection to Italy, we were observing with horror what was happening in Italy. And we were the first Australian company to close its cinemas. And we did that because our customers were starting to feel, I think frightened would be the word, and our staff were starting to become very concerned. And it didn't feel responsible to continue in that environment. So we took the decision to close our cinemas, and about 6 or 7 days later, the government ordered that all cinemas close. And we were at that point already closed and starting our negotiations with our landlords and with our banks and with our workforce to try to put the company into a form of hibernation so that when the time was right, it would be able to wake up and start work again.
It must have been a very difficult time for you all, imagine.
It's been devastating. However, in business, there are always so many challenges. You know, things always go wrong, and our job is to cope, and you've just got to find a way to survive and make things work and bounce back when the time is right.
Yeah, you do need that resilience in these circumstances, absolutely. Benjamin, I was wondering, what do you think of online platform screening films? This is something that has happened during COVID in Europe massively, I would say, and some of them will keep on going in parallel after reopening. Do you have any opinion on this?
Well, we love streaming movies, and as long as a film is paid for, we're happy. The only problem we have is when a film is not paid for, so if it's pirated. And the other problem we have is if someone wants a film to be shown in the cinemas at the same time as streaming. We think cinemas come first. We don't show films in our cinemas that have streamed because the whole purpose of the cinema. You know, the whole experience, part of what's so special about cinema is that you're seeing the film first and in the manner that was intended by its director.
Yeah, that's quite true, actually. The dark room has no comparison, isn't it?
No, it's the shared experience. Yeah. And, you know, yes, the dark room means there's less distraction. It's the way the light reflects off the screen is more soothing. And, yeah, it's really special.
And, Benjamin, we can share with the Fred audience the good news that Palace Cinemas are reopening on July the 2nd.
We can't wait.
Yeah, oh, yes. I... Same for us, same here. And so what are the challenges of reopening in these circumstances? You have to comply with the safety protocols. There are maybe different protocols in different states here in Australia. What are the biggest challenges for you?
Well, you know, that is a big challenge. The social distancing is difficult to manage, and we've had to change our booking system so that it leaves two spare seats between every booking. You can still sit with if you make a booking for four people, you sit with your four people, but between your booking and another booking, there are two spare seats, and every second row has been removed from sale. So, you know, it's way less than half capacity. It's more like 25% capacity, and we can't screen the film six or seven times per day per screen. We can only fit four sessions in now because we need half an hour to 40 minutes between each session to clean the cinema.
Wow, this sounds like very big challenges from a logistical perspective and even revenue perspective.
From a financial perspective, yeah. It's a fraction of normal income. And working out how to cope with that and still pay rent and still pay wages and still pay all the utilities. Yeah, you know, that's the challenge that we're going to be working out over the next couple of months. Mm. And we're lucky in Australia we have this JobKeeper scheme. Yeah, it means that wages are subsidised until September, and that's going to give us time to figure out how to do this. The other changes in the cinemas are contactless payment, so you pay with the credit card by waving it or your phone instead of actually having to touch anything. So we're not going to be accepting cash for a while. And there'll be markings on the ground, and there are sanitizer stations everywhere, and all the other regular stuff that everybody's yes. really getting sick of.
Yeah, a bit. But I'm a bit excited because looking at coming soon movies on the Palace website, there are a lot of titles. So which are the first titles that you will be screening when you reopen on the 2nd of July?
So we have about 10 new titles on the 2nd. Of July, and then about a half a dozen the week after that. So there are some really interesting films like The Personal History of David Copperfield, which is by the Italian director Arnaldo Iannucci, and there's another film called The Booksellers, Love, Sarah with Celia Imrie, Bellbirds, and A White, White Day from Scandinavia.
Oh, yeah, the Icelandic film.
Yeah, which is a beauty. Elizabeth Moss in a film called Shirley. Cate Blanchett in a film called Where Did You Go, Bernadette. Then into the 16th of July, The King of Staten Island, which is from the producer Judd Apatow. And the list goes on, but you know, there are some really significant films. Mulan is the Disney film, which looks like a female empowerment story. That's the 23rd of July. Burnt Orange Heresy, and then the big one is Tenet. You know, we're all waiting for this Christopher Nolan film. It looks absolutely extraordinary, and that's July the 30th. And yes, we we are so looking forward to seeing that. As lovers of cinema, as film fans, we can't wait to see that.
Absolutely. And Benjamin, talking about, you know, film festivals lovers, are you able to share with us some insight on what Palace is going to do with the many film festivals that Palace organizes every year? Can we have some hope for the second half of the year?
Yeah, the good news is the Italian Film Festival will be operating as normal in September, And the British Film Festival later in the year, the Greek Film Festival will happen as well. The Spanish Film Festival and the Scandinavian Film Festivals that did not happen, they will have to wait a year. They'll come back at their normal dates in 2021. So, yes, we did miss some film festivals. But, yeah, starting now, we're bringing back the French Film Festival because that only got halfway through its run and then it got cancelled. So,
yeah, was in the middle of the lockdown. Yeah.
So, anyway, French Film Festival is coming back straight away in the second week of July. And then yeah, the Italian and the Greek and the British and other film festivals throughout the year.
Oh, this is great news. And what about, are we missing also the German Film Festival this year?
Yes, the German Film Festival did not happen.
All right.
And, but I think we'll see. We'll see what happens with that one.
Yeah, okay, that's good to know. We watch that space because, you know, film festival are our thing at Fred.
There's such a magnificent opportunity to see so many great films from one particular country. And I love the feeling of, you know, it kind of feels like you're visiting the country.
Yes,
if you go
exactly.
to a film festival, you know, because you go, you know, we have the Italian wine and the Italian food and all of these different, you know, you hear people speaking Italian in the foyer and
yeah.
you watch a film and it's set in somewhere in Italy and you just feel like you're there for 2 hours. It's the cheapest holiday that you'll ever have.
Indeed, yes. And perhaps the only holiday we can have for a long time now.
Yeah.
Benjamin, talking about like European cinema and Australian cinema, how much is European cinema loved in Australia?
It's incredible. I don't think that there's any other country in the world that has such a strong market for European films as Australia. You know, when you talk about per capita, the consumption of European films is far, far higher in Australia than it is in the United States or the United Kingdom.
Ah, so Australia is really a special place for European cinema.
I think you know, there's a lot of Melbourne has a European feel to it. There's a
yeah.
European sensibility, very European culture, very multicultural as well. However, yes, people, I think they, Melbourne and Australia, we do feel like we're far away from Europe. You know, we sort of have this sense of we miss it. You know, you in London, you can pop over to Paris for a long weekend. Why
yeah.
not?
That's
but we
true.
Can't, we can't do that here, and we want to feel that connection. And it, yeah, a film, European film, gives us that connection
yeah,
to,
indeed.
In many ways, our parent culture.
And how is the Australian cinema doing in Europe?
Well, Australian cinema in Europe, I think Europeans and people around the world like here love a good film, and when Australia makes a great film, it travels.
Yeah, it does.
However, Australia only makes, I think, you know, maybe 40 feature films a year, which is not even a quarter of Italian or French or Spanish production. I think it's maybe one-tenth. It's like 10% of the production of a European country. And out of 40 films made, there's maybe, you know, only two or maybe five that get a theatrical release in Australia. And of those, maybe only one will travel to a European cinema screen. So it's a, yeah, it's an interesting thing. You need to be making a lot of films to create that regular culture of seeing them in, you know, in a foreign place.
Yeah, that's true. But interestingly, so there are so many Australian actors. Like working in the US, which is a big film industry. And sometimes through all this Australian actors spread around the world, Australian cinema is even more visible.
I feel like the actors really do. They're great ambassadors for the country. When you think of the Hemsworths and Kate Blanchett, who we talked about earlier. I think the Hemsworths, you know, every Australian looks at Chris Hemsworth and the interviews and the great sense of humour and the handsome, broad-shouldered man that he is and thinks, yep, he represents me. He's a great ambassador. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Look, Benjamin, thank you very much for your time. We'll watch that space, the Palace Cinema website, for the reopening, the big reopening on July the 2nd. And all the best for these very challenging times in the film industry and the cinema business.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me and good luck.
Thank you, Benjamin. Bye-bye.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.